Welcome to Busted Pencils Homeroom. It's educated educators talking education. Dr. Tim Slecker here, going, you know, with my colleague and friend, Jacob, chairman of the boards, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. You know, not that he's missing homeroom, but he has a legitimate excuse. It was submitted and signed by his, rightful guardian, Jacob, that gave him the ability to, not be in attendance today. So we have to, you know, whenever a parent or guardian puts forth the fact that, you know, the person that they're responsible for can't make it for the day, what we do here at Busted Pencils is we honor it, you know.
I respect that, Tim.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, things like that happen. Now, what I hope I don't do is, like, later in the day when I'm watching, you know, baseball, I don't see, like, the camera cut and see Dr. Johnny Lupinacci in the stands, you know, cheering on his. Yeah, well, next to the Pope and, kind of reminding me of that Ferris Bueller's Day Off scene there when Ferris got caught at the Chicago Cubs game. I think it was Cubs, maybe it was White Sox. But, you know, his principal, though, happened to look away from the camera at the right time. So anyway, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, we will miss you, but we've got this. Jacob, it's a homeroom, and typically we like to come into a homeroom and, you know, like, what's going on, what's happening in the world. And I know you had let me know that there's a little question or something that's concern. You think, you know, hit me, man. Hit me where it matters.
Yeah, Tim, I found this interesting article on Higher Ed Dive, and I couldn't help but think about you because you told me that you used to work for Penn State, didn't you?
Yeah, I was 10 years as a faculty member and also a division head leader. I was at the Penn State Altoona campus. What's happening at my old, you know, big or Penn State? I mean, massive, incredibly popular land grant institution. I know when I was applying to go to colleges back in the 80s, you know, everybody was looking to get into Penn State. So this has got to be exciting news.
It is not exciting news. It's a little bit more negative news, I would say. And I'm hoping to get your opinion on this and see what you know about it, because I went to a state satellite school. I went to one of the University of Wisconsin schools outside of Madison. This pertains to those sort of schools in Penn State. I don't know how that works there, so you're going to have to fill me in. But it says that they have proposed closing 7 Commonwealth campuses. Now, can you explain to me what a Commonwealth campus is for the Penn State system?
Yeah, actually, that's it. Boy, when you get into the Penn State system, you find out that there's a lot of, like, wait a minute, explain that to me, because that's not the reality that I know. And in fact, Jacob, what you point out too, it is different than the University of Wisconsin system, because those schools that, whether it's Whitewater, La Crosse, and institutions like that, they actually are independent of the University of Wisconsin, the kind of what we call the mothership, mm-hmm. which would be UW-Madison. There's much more independence, where at the Penn State, the Commonwealth campuses actually are an extension of the main campus of Penn State. So it's all wrapped up together like that. And in fact, when I was at Penn State Altoona, and at that time, you know, one of the things that they reminded us constantly was that we might be at the Penn State Altoona campus, but we are Penn State.
Okay.
You know, so we are Penn State. And a lot of that was to kind of say, it's like, oh, you went, you know, the branch campus stigma was a little bit there. And Penn State was trying to say, look, there's no stigma. If you're at Penn State Altoona, if you're at Penn State Berks, if you're at Penn State University Park main campus, you are at Penn State. And so it's a Penn State campus. What this did was, you know, allow for those smaller communities and for students in those areas to actually access a high quality Penn State education without having to go to the main campus in University Park, Pennsylvania. So, you know, a nice option for people that really wanted to get the, you know, the Penn State education credentials, but maybe not have the ability or desire to want to, you know, pick up and move across the state of Pennsylvania or wherever you're at. So this was a real nice option to get a Penn State degree. And as we always, you know, when you look at the degree when you graduate from any of these campuses, all it says is Penn State.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Does that matter? So did you get the difference there?
Yes, I do see the difference there. It kind of reminds me of I did some volunteering for veterans, and they were talking to these guys, and they're like, hey, whether you're a combat veteran or not, you're still a veteran, and we want to respect you. And it's like, hey, listen, whether you're at the main campus or you went to the satellite campus, degree says Penn State, so you guys are Penn State.
That's it. So now, wait, the headline was saying they're going to potentially close?
Yes. Yep.
Give me more, man.
So let me dive into the article a bit with you. It says Pennsylvania State University officials are seeking to close 7 of the institution's Commonwealth campuses at the end of the 2026-27 academic year. Campuses in Dubois, by the way, no idea if I'm going to say these right. I'm not from Pennsylvania, Tim, so let me know. Dubois, Fayette, Mont Alto, New Kensington, Shenango, Wilkes-Barre, and York. Was I close on any of that?
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, not too bad. Most people would say Dubois, but, you know, being from Pennsylvania, it's Dubois.
Dubois. Okay.
Not to be confused with Dubois. And, you know, Shenango, but you're pretty close on it. The rest, right on the bat. Wow. So there's a proposal that those campuses be closed. I didn't hear Penn State Altoona, which is where I spent my 10 years. So,
well, because you have that place in a great condition, there's no need.
I guess, yeah, my contributions there 15 years ago has really just held up well. Interesting. Okay, let's look at this and say, you know what, Jacob, I'm not surprised. And I'm going to say that from the standpoint of saying, not because I don't think Penn State is quality. I mean, Penn State is an incredible institution. What's happening at Penn State is what's happening all over the country.
Yeah.
The number of students that are applying for entry has declined drastically. Higher education is facing, you know, stiff competition just from a sheer numbers point of view. And Pennsylvania, my old home state, of which is one of these states where, you know, there seems to be, whether it's a Penn State, whether it's a Pitt, whether it's one of the Pennsylvania system schools, whether it's a community college, whether it's a private college, there is no shortage of an ability to find a higher ed institution. And back in the day, I think that worked out really well. Right now, though, with the population demographic, particularly of college age students in the decline, the negative connotations or feelings that the public has towards higher education in general, and the kind of rethinking that a lot of parents and their students and even adults who are returning to education looking at and saying, you know, is it worth the cost? And kind of pulling out and then realizing that, you know, for the most part, there's been a pretty strong economy that is allowing people to make a decent wage without a college degree. Putting all that together, guess what that means? Enrollment decline.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now, I'm going to point this, though, little kind of twist in this story, though. So there's no proposal to reduce or shrink or close down the Penn State main campus.
Not at all. Not from what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is exactly like you said. I mean, it's about the money that it says right here to continue operating these campuses. They'd require $40 million every year in financial support and an additional $200 million investment in the facilities spread out across the state for these seven campuses.
Yeah.
So that's where their focus is, trying to cut there instead of in Happy Valley.
Well, and the cut there is actually, and this is what happens. In fact, I saw this start to happen in between. I got there in 2003 and was there until 2013. Towards the end of 2013, we noticed the phenomena that a lot of our applicants, when a student applies to Penn State, they rank order the campuses that they prefer. And there was a little bit of a sense of saying, wait a minute, some of these students that should have been coming to Altoona are now getting full acceptance letters from the main campus. And so what it felt like was saying, wait a minute, so it must be that the application numbers and enrollment numbers in Happy Valley are a little bit shabby. Hey, but no need to worry. We've got lots of applicants at the campus. Let's bring them to Happy Valley.
That's unfortunate, Tim, because I was feeling pretty good earlier when you're like, hey, we're all Penn State. Doesn't matter where you're at.
Right.
Seems like the administrators feel a little bit differently.
We're all Penn State except when, let's bring everybody to the main campus because, I don't know. You know what? I don't look at this as any fault of Penn State or anything. This is a financial situation that it says that higher education, these number of institutions, and let's not just talk about Penn State, the Pennsylvania State higher education, public higher education system has in the past 8 years taken six campuses and reduced those into two campuses from the standpoint of enrollment. There have been multiple private institutions that are on the verge of closing. So what's happening here has nothing to do with really the quality. It just has the fact that we've got a demographic population this is a supply and demand issue, Jacob. You remember economics?
I do.
You know, there are too many institutions of higher education right now to support the population, the number of students that need and or want a degree, and so this is what's happening. I got to tell you though, that sounds maybe insensitive or kind of like, Tim, that's awfully factual without any emotions. I understand this in a way that really I get it. And I'll make a transition to the Pennsylvania State higher education system. My alma mater, Edinburgh University, is one of those institutions that is now the combination of what was Edinburgh University, California State, California University of Pennsylvania, Clarion University of Pennsylvania. They're now all called Penn West. In fact, my LinkedIn didn't even ask me if I wanted to change my affiliation. It automatically told me that I'm a graduate of Penn West.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. What happens in that reality? So like Edinburgh, Pennsylvania, which is the home of Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania, that institution is a bedrock institution of that community. The same goes for California. And the potential that it was going to be closed really hurts those local communities. So back to Penn State, those campuses, they have long histories in those communities of being, an institution that has really served the needs of the community. This is going to be a hard hit to the local communities and the local economy because you're talking about, you know, faculty who are not are going to have to be, you know, either laid off or moved out. All of the services that go into supporting those campuses, you know, that's all going to dry up. This is this is painful. And, you know, Jacob, I think you know this, but, you know, I've actually lived this experience of wondering, what am I going to do now that an institution has reduced its workforce? And in fact, at my institution, when I was in Wisconsin, one of my responsibilities as dean was to take that bad news to a lot of faculty and staff and let them know that, you know, at the end of the semester or at the end of the year, or if you would like to take up a buyout that the institution's offering, you should, because that's it. You know, we can't support this. So I look at this and I worry about higher education. But I also kind of get the demographic reality. I don't, I've rambled, Jacob. What do you think now?
Yeah, I know it's a difficult demographic reality right now for getting enrollment at these universities. Even my college that I graduated from just last year, the last year or two at that university, I saw drop off in newcoming students. There's emails all the time coming from the dean saying, "Hey, we're not closing just yet. Don't worry. You know, we're reducing the staff numbers, but don't worry, we're going to stay open." Tough times. I know that for me, you know, growing up as, a child of the recession, you could say, in that time you saw, you know, "Hey, I've got a doctorate in metaphysics." "Yeah, buddy, but get me my coffee. Hurry up." You know, the erosion of the value, or the feeling that there's that direct pipeline from, "Oh, I went to college, I got my degree, I'm going to get a good job because of it." I think people my age and younger are a little bit more dubious about that. So college becomes a very expensive and risky proposition for people my age thinking about getting into higher education. The pandemic only made that worse. You know, it changed things up. Now there's opportunities coming like AI to change the system. I think the pandemic showing us, hey, a lot of this can be done remotely. We can change some of the old institutions of learning, but it takes time. I can see how it's a huge challenge for people in education.
Yeah, and this is where I don't know the particulars of the Penn State campuses and what they have or haven't been doing to try to adapt to the new reality, you know, whether it's offering blended, hybrid education, more career-focused. And I will say that I do think that higher education needs to really, really rethink how it offers education through the modalities and the whole idea of a degree program and the prominence of degree programs, and being more realistic that, you know, maybe weekend credentials, certificate programs in ways that actually serve students, like you said, skeptical students that say, "You know what, I a 4-year degree, I can't do it right now." But you're saying there's, you know, like a credentialing program that could allow me to move up in the company I'm currently at. Well, then, yeah, I'll give that a try, right? And then so that could really start to establish some more trust. And I do see institutions doing that more and more often. And those that do are going to be the ones that continue to thrive. And those that are going to be late and, in fact, continue to insist on saying that, you know, "But what we do is quality and how we do it is quality, and it stood the test for the last 100 years. You know, hey, it'll be a nice memorial that you can hang your hat on the fact that you didn't give up your principles. But I really do see this, though. This Penn State reality, again, it's not shocking. I hate that it's not shocking. But, you know, it's where we are. And I think that if I'm an institution of higher education, if I'm a provost, a president, or a dean, and I'm seeing this, and I'm sure they are, You know, what is it that your institution under your leadership is, you know, willing to do to kind of look for those new students, to make those new connections with the communities that you're already involved in, reestablish connections, build new partnerships with industry, and, you know, really kind of make a new day for higher education. I think that while the news is sad and for a little bit stifling, or maybe I also take this moment as being, you know, really exciting for innovative institutions to really step out and, you know, really put forth this opportunity for access to so many more students who never imagined that they were ever going to go to college to begin with. What a great way now for an institution of higher education to say, no, we want you. In fact, we know we have something that can support you. Instead of the old, well, what's your SAT scores? What's your ACT scores? You know, can you do this? Hey, you took that degree, you know, 12 years ago. Sorry, you're going to have to repeat 60 plus credits. No. We are now in partnership with the community. We're creating access. We're creating bonds. And I think that's something to be excited about. No, Tim didn't just say it's exciting that Penn State is proposing closing campuses. I'm saying there's an excitement of the possibility of moving higher education into a place that could really go a long way in creating a positive cultural sense of the institution and really serving the needs of the students and the community members who could see these institutions as anchors, as bedrocks, as those places where, hey, if we need something, we know our institution of higher education is working with us. So, Jacob, that's what I got, man. You know what that means? Now it's time for your moment of zen. If you permit unprincipled and ambitious men to monopolize the soil, they will become masters of the country in a certain order of cause and effect. Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Homeroom. Really appreciated you spending time with Jacob and me, Tim. Looking forward, Johnny will be back. Make sure your Wednesday classes in session, Friday's hurdles and home runs, Saturday's, hey, the broadcast, 1 hour of Busted Pencils across all the civic media stations, the apps, Busted Pencils, one full hour, 3 p.m. Central Time. And of course, you can always download at Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remind everybody real quickly, though, hey, leave us a review. Tell us what you think, because that really goes a long way in helping Johnny, Jacob, and Tim sometimes, you know, get out of the doldrums. But man, make sure you come back, though. Your favorite blue-collar scholars are always available, and keep busting pencils.